welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith here in A Chat in the Garden where Smith is blooms in athletics and sports. Well, my bags are packed, and as soon as I say have a significant day, I am off to Phoenix to attend the Ethnic Minority Society Luncheon held at the Parks and Recreation Convention. I will be presenting Dr. Sonia Shaw with the Deb Award from the Chat in the Garden podcast. We are awarding her this in front of her platform. Usually we would do this at NACTA, but since Dr. Shaw is the president of, or former president of the Ethnic Minority Society, which is a part of the Parks and Rec community, as people of color that have a society, and she was the president of it. And I wanted to present her this award in front of her peers. And to be honest, to go meet some other women who are athletic administrators in Parks and Rec. Because, yes, it is one that is transferable. Many of our, look, with so many sports management majors out here, we have got to embrace that it's interchangeable. Outstanding opportunities in Parks and Rec. Because yours truly actually has a position in Parks and Rec. It is, I'm actually, they call me a logistics manager. But, you know, this is called planning. And I tell you, what the beautiful part of it is the fact is that relationships make it work. Yeah, relationships make it work. That's one reason why I want to go and connect. You know, one of our members, longtime members, is also on the Parks and Rec side, Dr. Denisha Hendricks. She's over at Parks and Rec in Selma, Alabama, and she's a former two-time athletic director. So now you hear, now you hear and see why I'm excited about being at this platform, because guess what? Many of you all come to me about opportunities. And the more that I know the bandwidth of how far the garden stretches, I'm able to provide you with opportunities. And most importantly, able to provide resources to all women of color, all black women in this industry. And some of those resources are people. Yes, are people. But this is like, for instance, so I've known Denisha for years. I've said for over 20 years. And actually done some research with her. I actually worked on some projects with her. Okay, so when she received the position at Selma as Director of Parks and Rec, I already had a client already in Selma, the athletic director, at Selma Public Schools. And here's the interesting thing, because the young lady was my client, I heard all her woes about working with outside entities, especially when it came to football and using the football field. Well, man, let me tell you, it was a happy, happy time to be able to put those two together, and it was smooth sailing. And the interesting thing, it was during COVID. So, this is why I'm taking to the friendly skies this afternoon to be there to present here with the Deb Award. And you're wondering, why do you call it a Deb Award? Well, I was looking for inspiration to be able to say what it is that we do here in the garden. And Deborah from the Bible, Deborah was one that gave advice. She sat on a retreat, and people would come far and wide to ask her for her advice. And so we're here in a garden, but you know it has to be a tree there somewhere maybe. And we give career advice as it relates to athletic administration and sports business. And I just thought the Deb Award would be exactly what we would call it. And so this will be our 7th one of giving out. And Dr. Sonia Shaw will receive that in front of her peers tomorrow during the luncheon. And here's the interesting thing. I think it was last week I came with Toya's story, and I was discussing, because I've been, you know, saying to her I wanted to get a table. And we finally connected again. And so I got a table. I'm going back to Phoenix in February. What's going on in Phoenix in February? The Super Bowl. And what happens at the Super Bowl that piques my interest? LaToya Story has her Sport Power Brunch. This will be my third time attending, and I promised myself I would never, ever miss this event. But I'm giving an opportunity to share it with you all. Here's the deal. There aren't any individual tickets on sale right now. The only thing you can purchase is a table sponsorship. Table sponsorship is at $15,000. $15,000. And so I'm able to allow you to purchase a seat at $1,200. Yeah. So we're going to be able to all sit together. Yeah. And so... And look, it was an event that the first time I went to an event, I have to be real honest with you, I wanted to meet Nicole Lynn. Many of my students wanted to become agents, and I just really wanted to touch and agree to figure out how this thing works. And I'm so glad I did, because I met her before her book came out. And so I've already followed her on Twitter. And gave me some insight. Because when I tell you, almost every semester, there is someone who says to me, I want to become an agent. And I'm a person of research, and I want to go and be able to, again, know some people and connect some people with some things. So that was the first time. And that was in Miami. And then last year, oh, my goodness. Look, she honored Kobe Bryant's wife. Just the people in the room. I didn't even know that the CEO of the L.A. Sparks was an HBCU graduate. Playing the MEAC. You know, just the connections, people. Just the connections. Now, you know, if you don't have a desire to work on the professional level, that's fine. But you heard the kind of connections I just said that I came in contact with that would help me in my current situation. So, if that planted a seed with you, just email me at MoniqueAJSmith@seasonempowerment.info. I only have seven seats left. And if you want to be in the place, the 4th annual Sports Power Brunch, please, contact me, and I do have, my deadline is October 31st. I said the 15th. I didn't change that on you. Flyer here, but yeah, I'm saying October 31st to grab your seat. And we're going to have a great time. If you've ever been to an event with me, period, you know everybody I know, you're going to know, and they're going to know you. That's what I love to do. I like to connect minds and minds. So, again, going to Phoenix tonight, and I'm going to be in Phoenix February 7th. Come on and join me, okay? Come on and join me. So tonight I will not have a Facebook Live because I will be in the friendly skies. But go ahead and go watch the Inside the Private Facebook group. The Facebook Live Meet the Contributors with Coach Rich of Temple University and Coach Hood. Both of these young ladies are featured in the 4th issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. And again, I love the Facebook Live because we're able to, I do my Johnny Cochran with Johnny Carson here. But just to just talk about the experience of sharing your specialized knowledge. You know, the funny thing, today I just closed out. I have no more spaces available for the next issue. We're already booked for the fifth issue that will come out in March. Yes. Now, I do have advertising spots available. So that is something that you may want to jump on board. Advertising inside Significance in Athletics and Sports, fifth issue. So if you want to get the current issue that's out, just go over to Amazon and go ahead and purchase it. But if you want the PDF version, you can go to payhip.com/seeds of empowerment, and you will see the PDF version of the fourth issue of Significance in Athletics. And I will resume doing our Facebook Live, Meet the Contributors, next week. But in the meantime, go ahead and listen. Because here's the thing, we talked about what made the folks want to be in the magazine, what was the process like, okay? Because what I do, I give you expert marketing training. It's different. We don't really want to hear about how you began the business, because that's what we do here in Chat in the Garden. We want to know what it is that you do well in your space, okay? And it's usually something that you've done everywhere you've gone. Because really, just like I wanted to go meet Nicole Lynn, I wanted to know how is it to be a woman to be able to get the, I think it was the second, but have a young person, a younger man in the first round of the draft. I mean, how do you go about convincing them that you can represent them? See, I need to know that so I can be able to tell my students, like, okay, do you have this aptitude to be able to do this? The first thing I ask them all the time, do you have any relationships with any football players, basketball players, any student athletes now while you're on campus? Because that will be it. You got to build relationships with folks. Yeah, because you got to build trust, because they want to trust you with their image, their brand. So that being said, make sure that you go on board and listen to Facebook Live, Meet the Contributors, Coach Rich and Coach Hood, and see how they are using this platform to grow their platform. And I was just honored. What, a Division I women's basketball coach has chosen the magazine. I think she just got hired like that week or that month when she said, yes, I'll get on board. Just excited about that. I'm excited that we have closed out the fifth issue. No, I have not began to take people for the sixth. I got to take a breather first. But we do have opportunities for advertising. And so I want to share some of our sponsors here of the Chat in the Garden. Seawall Foundation is offering student-athlete media training, and I think this is really key because of name, image, and likeness. It's our young people need to know how to portray themselves in the media, and social media is part of the media. And it's interesting because I'm in the process of creating something with my students for AAU program because and we were talking about digital marketing and how young people and parents, okay, want their kids to get exposure. And so are our kids ready for this exposure? And the reason I'm really, really saying we need to have some kind of guardrail because the professional athletes are using social media to get active. And we got to be able to train our student athletes how not to let whatever is going on a team situation to be seen, because it brands them. and they're trying to make a name for themselves. So CWOF Foundation is a start, okay? And we really want to prepare our players for lights, camera, action, so they won't have any sorry Ms. Jackson moments. For more information, email info@cwallfoundation.org. Again, info@cwallfoundation.org. Z Butler, one of my most interesting clients that I have, I must admit, because she fooled me. She fooled me. Her newest book is called The Mental State of Sports. And that came about because I encouraged her to present at the Black Student Athletes Summit, which, by the way, will be in May this year in L.A. And man, she was so good, so dynamic. I was just like, wow. And so she's taken her presentation and made a book out of it. But her first book is one I've been encouraging here. It is called 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete. And it's really good. And last week I couldn't read them because I wasn't at my desk. But today, the next one is Competition Level. Turn up the volume. All right? Again, she goes on to talk about how this is not like high school. And that's a real transition. That's a serious transition. And so I think it'd be enough to use the book. It's very thin. But use the tips to be able to have dialogue with your players, especially during this preseason time, to keep them engaged. And then use it for parents that come for visit and say, here is a resource for you. And how do you get this resource? You go to payhip.com/theballcode. All right? Payhip.com/theballcode. Now, the Mental State of Sports, I was able to purchase the PDF version, but the hand in your hand, smell the pages version, is in pre-sale. And how you go about getting that, you go to theballcode.com to get that. Another resource that I'm really proud of is a young lady that is an athletic administrator, but she's a former student athlete, and she uses her. Look, I'm excited about a person of color in athletics and sports who has her own book. Let's just be clear right there. And this young lady's not even 30 years old. So her book is called Success is My Major. And this was great because, you know, having a student athlete who's been a star in high school come to college and does not understand how they fit in, they have a sense of entitlement, like, don't you know who I am? And they don't understand that growth is uncomfortable. And they have a sense of entitlement. And that's what she has in the book. She calls it going from starting entitled and leaving unforgettable. And let me tell you, this book is unforgettable. I mean, it's one of those ones that I'm about to go deep dive in again because she mentions so many great resources. And I can see her doing the volume, too. Yeah, because she is always seeking and learning. And what I'm excited about is she is on the collegiate side as a recruiting director for a Power Five institution. So I know she's going to have some great experiences. I know that I'm watching some of the student athletes that she has and how they learn from her. So you need to get this book. I mean, for real, for real. And every time I speak to middle school folks, and I put it in my contract to purchase these books, yes, I do. I could put in there purchase my magazine. I could put in there purchase my book. But no, I'm purchasing her book because I want to be able to really plant the right seeds for our people. So how to get yours? It's really easy. You go to successmajorbook.com. to make your purchase. Again, successmajorbook.com. And another book that I've had, this is one of the first books that I promoted here on the Chattanooga Garden is Surviving the Light, a professional athlete's playbook to avoiding the curse by Tawana Smith. And this book came out way before we discussed name, image, and likeness. And I learned so much from the book. And I'm able to talk intelligently to even when I ask my students, I say, and student athletes, so what do you want to do with your life? So, again, I'm over practical. So I'm trying to put meaningful opportunities with my students so that they can get ready for the real world. And you know, if they're an athlete, I just want to play ball. So I think you have to play ball. I'm going to play ball. I'm like, oh, gosh. So I said, so when you play ball, it's going to be a season. You know, you're going to play ball all year long. So what are we going to do when we're in the off season? So that's how I changed it. I kind of steer it there. I'm not trying to say don't do it, but you're not going to be playing all season long. And I said, so now most of them realize this, and we're going to peek this to you. So I said, well, how are you going to survive when you're not playing in the off season? They know they need an agent. Good. All right. So how are you going to pay your expenses, because you don't get paid until you play? Y'all hear me? You know, you sign something, you don't get paid until you play. So what you can do with those months while you're training to play? And they realize it. The ones that are really on it, they'll say, oh, my agent will pay me, and when I get my money, I have to pay them back. Now, how many of your student athletes realize that? Yeah. Those are the hardest to find and realize, because, you know, they bought all these great things, and by the time they get their check, it's down to zero because they've already spent it. So the key is, who do they have as their agent? Now, agent doesn't necessarily mean a person who do your contracts. It could be someone who pays your bills, who would be different from a lawyer that's going to make sure you get a contract. It could be your social media manager. Anybody who assists you in any area and can speak on your behalf is the agent. That's what the NCAA says. But the key thing is who you select. And that's what this book kind of sets you straight, a professional athlete's playbook to avoid the curse. How not to get out there and not know where my money go. And this book was purchased by the NFL for the attendees, participants in the Celebration Bowl before the pandemic. So don't take my word for it. If the NFL purchased it for all of those attendees, then you know it's the real deal. So this is available on Amazon in three different formats: audio, paperback, and softcover. I said paperback. Paperback, audio, oh, and PDF, excuse me. PDF, audio, and paperback. Go get your copy today. And this is not a book, but this, oh, actually does have a book, but that book is for, like, the first-time athletic director. But Ava Amaker, an educational risk management consultant, owns the Vigilant Safety Training Center. And I, 1,000 times 10, endorse her program because I've even used it with other clients that I have. And I purchased her consulting to assist and create templates and whatnot for things that I've been doing. So the part that I really, really want to employ is, like, you can have a nice little manual, but do the people that we know what's supposed to happen? And if you just look about the deaths that have happened in athletics, that could have been avoided. It could have been avoided. You know, whether it's a student athlete dying from preseason, whether it is violence from fans in the stands, and then the hurt that we can't really see, the emotional hurt of discrimination, remarks being derogatory remarks by student athletes are competing. All of that falls under the safety. So we really want to go from policy to practice. You know, what does this look like? You know, we said we're protecting our student athletes and our families. What does that look like? So the center has the following training: first responder training, sport and event staff certification, workspace safety and personal training, and operations. So to get more information, visit Vigilance, VigilanceCentre.com. That stands for Vigilance Safety Training Center. VigilanceCentre.com. Well, the time has come to introduce our guest for today, Jessica Brown, Vice President of Student Affairs and Athletics for North Central College. Welcome to the Garden, Jessica. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. Can't you tell? I'm just so excited. I just love what I do.
This is an amazing platform. Thank you for having me this morning.
Oh, no problem. So did you hear your cheers?
Excuse me?
Did you hear your cheers?
Yes, I did. I did. I've been listening in.
Yes. So we celebrate here in the garden. So I do have some questions to come in for you. But before we do that, please share with everyone your journey from college to your current position.
Yes, ma'am. So, again, Jessica Brown, I also go by JB, she, her pronouns. And I'm a former Division I volleyball player at Western Michigan University. Had the privilege of starting off 4 years and had a very successful career. It was probably in my sophomore, junior year that I started to realize that I wanted to coach. So I started asking some questions, and I jumped on staff as a volunteer assistant coach the year after graduating. It was a great experience. It gave me the foundation that I needed to eventually take the head coaching position down at Eureka College and the SWA position. Straight out of college, my first big girl job, and I just kind of went into it, and I knew I had a good foundation. Probably about a year and a half into that journey that I realized other students were starting to enter my office. Like, who are these other students? I'm just a volleyball coach. And I started to realize that I had a connection with students who didn't identify with athletics, and I wanted to figure out, how do I get to know more about higher education? How can I reach more students? How can I really lead effectively within the athletic department? So that's when I started my journey going outside of athletics to be able to help athletics. I transitioned over to student services as a first-gen coordinator and assistant director for Res Life to really give me my foundation that I needed to be able to fully support students in a holistic way. Went back to school, got my master's, really disconnected from athletics for a while to make sure that, I wanted to give the coach some space because I did this all at Eureka, but also just to make sure that I fully could saturate myself with student services. Through that process, I kept in touch with athletic folks and was still a big fan, but I wanted to develop my leadership in a way that I could relate to the athletic department, leverage them as partners to make sure that student athletes didn't end up how I did, which was to go through 4 years of college and not be exposed to some of the other things that higher education provides. And if I didn't, have that one job in college through recreation, I heard you speak about Parks and Rec earlier, if I didn't have that experience as a coordinator for Parks and Rec for the city of Kalamazoo, I wouldn't have had anything on my resume, because being a Division I athlete, that is your full-time job. So shortly after that, I kept saying yes. Opportunities kept presenting themselves at Eureka. I had a great mentor, Dr. Jamel Santa Cruz Wright, who's the president, the first female and black president down at Eureka, just kind of gave me the pathway and, challenged me to do the work. And the dean of students position opened. accepting that and fully embraced it. Then COVID happened, all while, you know, going back to school to get my PhD at Illinois State University. And, you know, I created a 5-year plan for myself of how I would be able to lead student services and athletics one day as a VP. And I put myself on the market, and a portfolio was presented to me, and I said, man, that's my dream, like to a T. I have to throw my name in the hat for that. And so I did, and that's how I've landed here at North Central.
And how long have you been there?
I've been here for a year, so I'm entering year 2, and it has been a pleasure.
Now, that is good to hear. So do I need to correct myself? Are you now Dr. Brown?
Not yet. It's close.
Okay,
I am in the process of finishing my edits as we speak, with the hopes that I will walk this December and become Dr. Brown. So.
Oh, wow. So what is your topic?
Yes, I am looking at athletic departments and if there are anti-black spaces for former black female student athletes, really looking and diving into the leadership and how athletic departments are designed and created and how that leadership and framework really impacts the former black female student athlete experience.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm not sure. I'm going to throw this name out there. Dr. Alicia Carter-Francis.
Oh, yeah. She's an OG in the field.
Girl, when I tell you, when I hear her speak, I feel like I'm in church. You hear me?
Yes, yes. I have a friend who actually has her on her committee.
It's interesting because I've never, I'm a lifelong learner, but when I hear her speak, I go like, oh, I got to make up. You know,
yeah.
I got to make up some space here because I had never read When Chicken Heads Come to Roost or something like that.
I've heard that.
It's about a black woman feminist.
Okay.
And so that's the way that, you know, she approaches it. She's talking about hip-hop feminists. I never even heard of that before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just when you say the study of, like, the women scholars in this business just excite me. You follow me? Because, again, I began as a sports information person, so I'm used to telling the story, you know, knowing, reading, and being able to put that into some type of context, walking and talking, you know, when you talk to young women. And even teaching sports management courses, I mean, usually it's like one or two women in my class. And I'm like, okay, I'm here to warn you. I'm going to be harder on you than I am with the dudes in the class. Because it's hard out here.
It is,
you know?
Indeed.
But I'm going to hug you and kick you at the same time because I'd rather me kick you first than you feel like you get kicked out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And
absolutely.
I'm excited to hear that you are doing this because it is interesting how, maybe it's because we show it so much, but would you say, based on your research, that the black female student athlete gets burned out much faster than the other student athlete, male counterpart?
I don't know if I would use the language burnout. I would say who we are once we get out of that experience is significantly different than men. I think some of the mental health challenges and some of the career challenges that we face after weathering that storm are a little bit different than men, particularly black men.
Mm-hmm. And maybe because they don't express it as much, but, you know, I just notice when I say to the students that are in my class, well, do you want to be in the business? And the look I get going like, I'm going to try to get as far away from it as possible. But then I say, okay, well, look, there's something that happened that makes you feel that way. Wouldn't you want to be a part of it so it won't happen to somebody else? Then I can kind of draw them back in. And they go like, yeah, okay, I might want to do that. And they don't see it that way because the first thought is coach. I said, no, there's more to life than just the coach. Is really the athletic. Coach.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I have my days. You have to have a good tribe around you and really understand what your purpose is and what you're trying to get out of the opportunities that are presented to you. And when you say you want to create change, you know, what is that realistic change that you're willing to weather no matter what is thrown at you? And that changes, you know, over time. But it is hard. You know, I'm not going to dismiss that. I have a really nice self-care routine, so I feel at this particular point in my career, I'm able to come in ready to go every single day.
Oh, my God. Well, you can't just stop. Then you have to share.
Well, so being a former student athlete, you understand how to prepare and how to recover. So I've taken the same method that I used to use as a student athlete. What are all the things that I have to do at night and in the morning to make sure that I'm prepared to come into work? So that may look like painting after hours. That may look like making sure that I'm around the right amount of people. Again, like I said, I have a nice tribe of folks that pour into me in a particular way. Watching something that fuels me up, books, what you listen to. I'm a huge component about what type of music, social media, books, all of that stuff that you're taking in every day. So monitoring that, working out, but making sure that I get in at least an hour of a self-care routine. That could be at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, whenever my day ends from the career, that I take that hour or so to recharge, cleaning, to recharge myself, to make sure that when I walk in the door, I am fully ready to go as if I was for practice, for a game, for film, rehab, whatever. So I've just stuck with that same kind of framework that I used to have as a student athlete to make sure I'm prepared. I read a book, and the guy said the most successful people understand how to rest, right? Mm-hmm. So they understand what they actually need to do to recover to make sure that they can operate at a very high level at a very consistent pace. So I just try to focus on that, and I know when I need to step away. This is a mental health day. I work remote as often as I can to make sure that I'm fully, you know, addressing the things that I need to address. But you got to have a kind of a toolkit of different things to tap into. So I have several. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I believe in the rest part. There was a person on Oprah back in the late 90s that talked about, dang, I forgot the name of the book, but it was talking about going to bed at the same time every day and getting up without an alarm. And I instituted that back then because I couldn't make real good sound decisions when you're tired and you don't know that. You don't even know you're irritated. And so I began to go to bed at 10 o'clock no matter what, and gather up our alarm, and that made all the difference. So, all right. So let me dive into some questions. Okay. Rock Roshan, she is a PhD candidate in the Department of Sport Management at Florida State University. What is most fulfilling for you in your role, such as present day challenges?
Yeah, the most fulfilling thing. I would say the ability to leverage my strengths every day. So at heart, I'm a coach, whether that's coaching student athletes, or my team members, to be able to quickly identify their strengths and help guide them through how to address their weaknesses and leverage their strengths. When I see that light bulb go off, it really brings me a lot of joy. Seeing student athletes come in and who they become after that four-year time, or any student for that matter, is rewarding. But, and then I would say sitting at the table every day that I go into cabinet, it is rewarding that I know that I belong there, that I'm opening a door for someone else, particularly a black queer woman. So those things get me, you know, I get excited every single time.
Well, that's good. That is really good. Let me ask you this question, and I believe that I did. So weren't you at Noxus?
I was not.
You were not. Okay.
I was not. Yeah.
Okay. Angel Kofar is a student at North Central College. What would be your best advice to a college student whose journey has been rocky?
Keep going. Focus on the things that you have obtained throughout the journey. So what have you accomplished in the time? I'm really focusing on gratitude. So, you know, create that list of things that you have been able to accomplish and be thankful for those things and just keep going. There is always light at the end of the tunnel. And when you're at the bottom of one particular hill, just know that there's another one. So there, it's going to continue to go. But that would be the advice that I would give her. Keep going and be thankful for what you've done.
Can you share one of those challenges that you use, one of those, that tactic?
Yeah. In my current position?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
So I would say the challenge of just being me in a space that doesn't always represent me. I'm constantly just reminding myself of what is my purpose and what have I said that I'd like to obtain, which is to serve students, right? And so mm-hmm. for me it is when those curveballs come your way, taking a deep breath, leveraging the resources that I have great mentors, I have great, you know, friends and family members that I can lean on, and creating that response or creating that strategy to make sure that I get through that particular challenge. So for me, it's every day walking in the door sometimes. It is a challenge for me to just stay true to who I am, and that goes back to that self-care, being thankful for the opportunities that you have and the things that you've already accomplished. But, yeah, just leveraging your resources and knowing that you're not alone and there's folks, this platform being one, that there's other people out there doing the work that you can tap into when those curveballs are coming.
Well, thank you for mentioning this, that platform, because that's one of the things that keeps me going. We've been blessed to be here for 9 years, and so that surprises me every time I say that. So, you know, when you're doing what you love, you don't even know the way the time goes.
Yep, absolutely.
I got one more question before I go to break.
Okay.
And, again, these are questions that I gathered from social media, people that were connected or liked the fact that you were going to be here. I said, here's your chance to ask a question. So, Jenny Dent, what are your thoughts on name, image, and likeness and how it affects black and brown student athletes?
Ooh, okay, that's a big one. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited that student athletes are having an opportunity to be a part of a conversation that I don't feel that they've been centered in the past. I remember voting on student athletes being able to have some money when I was back in, mm-hmm. on SAC as a student athlete way, way back. So I'm excited that we're now part of the conversation. My fear is that, once again, the structures that are put in place will disadvantage us. So I was talking to a dear friend the other day, you know, how many of these student athletes, particularly black and brown, understand taxes, understand financial literacy,
mm-hmm.
understand how to really leverage their resources that their white counterparts have already been previewed to in other spaces. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that us black and brown administrators in particular kind of grab those students up very quickly to make sure that they're not in the same space that we see some of these pro athletes after their first year or two. So I'm excited about the conversation. I just hope that we can get into the conversation as administrators to really help and guide them with staying within guidance, because it's already set up for us to not be successful as some of our white counterparts.
Yeah, because not knowing, you know, it's just like anything else. You talked about internships and whatnot. and knowing people, you know, for the other side, they can call Uncle Jim, and, you know, and be able to have it. But, you know, if our uncles and aunts don't have opportunities for us, we have to come up with no tools how to go about to get those internships and do these things and to get those networking pieces. And so the financial piece is very key. It's interesting. I gave my students an assignment to watch a resource that I found that was very helpful last year. It was an attorney, I think, in Philadelphia, and he talks about name, image, and likeness from offensive defense. And offense is teaching the branding and the financial piece. The defense is to get the right people to protect you so that, you know, after you get all this money, and look, get the money and then the gifts and want to give it to your whole teammates, you got to pay tax on the gifts you give to other people. You know what I'm saying? And they don't even know that. You get a free car, you still got to pay taxes on that. They don't realize that. So you need to have those type of people as your defense. So, and I try to provide those type of resources here in the garden, too, when I'm on those platforms to make sure that this is a resource. So it is a day where we can't have our head in the sand and say, that's a distraction. Well, that distraction could take you out, so you need to know all about it. So we're going to take really a short break here on Tech and God. When we return, we'll talk to soon-to-be Dr. Brown.
My name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Did you know that athletic identity is one of the top three struggles athletes experience, especially in terms of their talent? My name is Zedrilyn Butler, and I am a former Division I NJCAA and NCAA women's basketball player. My book, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, is a great resource for parents, coaches, and supporters to equip their college athletes. Pick up your copy at www.payhip.com/theballcode. Together, we can beat athletic identity.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in Chatner Garden where Smith is blooming in athletics and sports. Well, Jessica, I have two questions.
Okay.
First one, one of a young lady taking the same path that you are, she is McKenzie Rector. She's at The Ohio State, and she's getting her Ph.D., and she's looking at sports management education and the relationship you have with faculty and classmates. So tell us about any relationship with classmates that will impact your success, that led to your success from the sports management education field.
Absolutely. Faculty are critical. So I'll answer this question in two components. As a student, it is important to really make sure you understand who the faculty member is that you're working with and learning from. That could be critical to your success as completing your degree. And so sometimes that requires connecting with them, you know, outside of the classroom, what have you, learning, reading their literature, and just kind of really saturating yourself in their own framework. That was critical for me, but as a professional, I will be honest, I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for some of the faculty at Eureka College. They were critical in helping me prepare to enter the PhD program. They helped me really understand how shared governance works. And so the quicker that you can establish relationships with faculty, they will support you as an administrator, but they will also support particular agendas that you may want to advance throughout your leadership. As I've transitioned here into North Central, I've really been focusing on creating very intimate and respectful relationships with the faculty here, which takes time to make sure that you're showing up as your authentic self, but also that you can really support some of the things that they're doing in the classroom.
Wow, that is great. Well, staying on the educational tip, I believe seeds are reeds. So share a book that has assisted you in your leadership.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that last part?
I said share a book that has assisted you in your leadership.
Oh, my leadership. A book in my leadership. This is going to sound out of the box, but I reference my notes from it often, which is 50 Cent's Work Harder, Not Smarter, or Work Smarter, Not Harder book was critical during COVID. I listened to that and took a lot of notes because he gave me the perspective of people who are not in my industry field, and I've used some of the tips about how to recover, how to navigate different spaces to leverage those experience in athletics and within higher education. And so I would say some of the nuggets that he shared that are straight from the streets, but also from his corporate experiences have been critical, and I often reference those notes.
Wow. So do you watch the several powers that are out there?
Yeah, I do watch the Power Universe.
Yeah, because it's like, which one is your favorite one?
I would say Ghost, just because I love Mary J. Mary J. is highlighting black women in a way that is just resonating with me. It feels real and authentic and less Hollywood. But I would say Ghost, Ghost 2.
I like Rock. Okay, even though she's not the best mother at all, okay, she does not get the mommy award at all. But let me tell you, she one of them brothers. You hear me?
Yeah, she
And the part that is, I mean, the one that happened, and I rarely watch TV, but this is one of the ones I do. I watch it with my husband. And the one, the interesting, when she fixed the stove to be where you drop the drug,
yeah,
I was like, but that was invented, number one. And number two, her whole point was to have it up a high rise so she could see everything. And I just, for me, you know, we grew up, I mean, here's the thing, people were like, why is she idolizing drug life? Well, let's be clear. Did not the Godfather win upteen awards? Okay?
Yeah.
That, to us, that's the culture of that's Hollywood, and that's great. Just because it did not show, look, they did not get there just by doing numbers, people. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's just how it's portrayed. It's just that this is our world. I don't see why it should be any different because we analyze that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's all I'm saying about that. It's entertainment. Go ahead, honey.
I was just going to say, and I would also add, since transitioning to North Central, Workplace Poker by Dan Russ has been critical for my leadership.
Oh, gosh. Never heard of that. Workplace
Poker. And I think any black or brown woman navigating, saturate yourself with some of those workplace dynamics. You know your ins and outs of your discipline, but there's this other world that you have to learn if you're not familiar with that can make or break you as well.
I'm going to put that in the follow-ups for today's podcast. Thank you so much for sharing so much today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. And thank you to Jamila Harrison of Refined Solutions for serving as my engineer and my eyes and ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates and showcase podcast follow-ups. Join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.